that this morning that might be a help and a blessing to you. When you find your place, stand with us and we'll read the Word of the Lord together from Revelation chapter 19. And I sincerely and honestly desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us, strengthen us, and give us a voice and ability to preach this morning, and strengthen my body and certainly in the inward man. From Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and her avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all your servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." By the way, do you kind of get the feeling reading these verses, folks that don't enjoy meetings where folks shout Amen and Hallelujah, ain't going to like being in a place like this. Amen. Awful lot of that seem to be going on in these verses, don't they? Down in verse number 6, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thundering." Boy, so this is the quietest place you're ever going to live in. "Saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor unto Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. The passage we're reading this morning tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb and how He honors the bride at this gathering. We know that the groom will be our sweet Lord and the bride will be the blood-washed church of the living God, the church of the redeemed. In chapter number 18, the false of religion and the great whore church has been judged and Satan has been defeated and all lost souls are soon to be judged. But the priority of our Lord in chapter 19 is the consummation of an eternal relationship with His people. A blessed promise is given in these verses, especially in verses 7 and 8 when it said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." You see, the promise is given to us in these verses that the bride will not be unprepared for the wedding, that the wedding will not catch the bride unaware, and that she'll not be unprepared for the wedding, but said that she will be ready, that she'll be rejoicing, and that she'll be robed in white. Amen. Amen. I want to preach this morning on my robe of white out of this passage of Scripture talking about that marriage supper of the Lamb. That robe of white, my robe of white. By the way, I want to make that distinction. I'm not just preaching on the robe of white or a robe of white. I'm preaching on my robe of white because I am a part of that bride, the church of the redeemed of the living God. And so I want to talk to you about my robe of white. I want to say this morning, first of all, this robe is a pure robe. My robe of white is a pure robe. You see, there will be no sin, no error, no fault, no flaws in my robe of white. I'm now robed in this flesh that's dirty, sin-cursed, and that enmity with God. But my robe on that day will be heavenly and will be pure. Amen. And that's what the song talks about whenever we sing a sweet hour of prayer, when it talks about how one day we'll drop this robe of flesh and rise to meet the prize in the skies. What a blessed time it's going to be. Amen. And hey, the entire creation, the Bible says, groans and yearns for this transition, this redemption of the body. where God redeems this old flesh and our friend and removes this old body we're living in and gives us a new body made like unto Jesus. And my robe on that day will be a pure robe. It's pure because it's washed, you see. And the reason why it's pure, because it's been washed clean. Hey, you see, I brought to Jesus a sinful robe of my past that He washed me clean in His red blood. Woo! Bless His name. Hey, I had nothing to do with that. I could not accomplish it. Amen. Thank God for His washing me clean. Isaiah 1:16 says, wash you, make you clean, and put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, our robes have been washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. If you flip back a few pages in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 7, look at some verses here. Since you're right there in the neighborhood, read with me in a few verses in Revelation chapter 7. Look down in verse number 9. He said, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindred and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And by the way, I like the way these verses are worded. The throng of crowd of people, in other words, have got around the throne of God, and they began to praise the Lord, and they began to say hallelujah, and they began to say salvation to our God. And the next thing you know, looked around, and the angels, you know what they said? They said, amen. That's right. Well, thank God. Hey, and I'll say amen to every bit of it, friend. He's worthy to be praised. And in verse number 13, one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robe, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of a great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are washed robes, friend. That's why they're up here, because they're washed. Therefore, they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Nor the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I say, bless His high and holy name. Hey, I have a pure robe waiting for me. That's pure because it's washed. Our robes will be washed of all sin in His precious blood. It's a pure robe washed. It's a pure robe, and it's white, friend. It's white. You see, our robes will be washed white. They won't be whitewashed. They'll be washed white. You know what the difference is, don't you? Whitewash is just paint. It just covers up the filth that's up under it. But we won't be whitewashed. Amen. We'll be washed white. Hey, that is clean all the way down to the inside. There'll be no sin and no darkness in that city. Our robes will be washed white. You see, white is the color that's worn for purity by brides all over the world. In virtually every culture, it represents cleanness and purity. It represents that bride has not been defiled by the hands of man. For the church, it is the righteousness of the saints, according to our text. It's not our righteousness, my friend, but it's the righteousness that's been given unto us. It has been bequeathed unto us. We didn't earn it or buy it, but it's been given unto us.
to us. Isaiah 61 and 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels, He's clothed us in a robe of white. And one day we'll wear those wedding garments. My robe is pure white. It's a pure robe because it's my friend washed. It's a pure robe that's white. And I want to say it's a pure robe that's worn. Isn't it interesting now, friend? Usually white will be damaged when worn. I mean, hey, do you know what happened when my wife and I got married? After we got married, she had that pretty dress. I taken to the cleaners and they made sure they got it cleaned up real good. I'd put it in a box to preserve it and so forth. And I had it cleaned out just right and all this stuff. You see, if she wore it quite often, it'd become dingy. Or even if it sat in a closet exposed to the air, that white would have been, my friend, damaged by the dust and the dirt and the filth. My friend of this world. Matter of fact, I think she lent it to somebody and I don't think we ever even got it back. I don't even have it anymore. That's all right. She ain't gonna need it again, no how. Amen. That's exactly right. But hey, friend, listen. Hey, that wine will get exposed to this world and become dingy and dirty and nasty. If you wear it too often, amen. That pretty white shirt, Brother Jeff's got on, won't stay white. It's exposed to enough dirt of this world. But I'm so glad yonder in heaven, that a robe of white won't be for putting in a box and setting up in a closet. Amen. Woo! Bless His name. There'll be no dirt, no filth, no nastiness, no sin, no corruption in that city. But that robe will be worn. Amen. Hey, in a million years from now, it'll be just as white as when we get started. The same God, I'm saying, friend, that purified us is the same God that will preserve us. And we will wear the robe of white and remain pure for all of eternity. It's a pure robe. It's a pure robe. My robe of white I'm talking about. Not only is it a pure robe, but I want to say this morning, it's a provided robe. It's a provided robe. You see, it's been provided for us. The reality is, I did not earn the robe. I did not purchase the robe. I did not make the robe. It was provided for me. The reality is, it was bought for me by the groom. Amen. It was bought. It was purchased by the groom. You see, it's not our own righteousness. For Titus 3 and 5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Amen. It was righteousness provided for us. Notice that verse number 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That word granted means that it was given to her. It was a gift that was presented unto the bride. This robe was a gift from her groom. It is the gracious bestowment of their Lord. And the reference here must be to that righteousness which we obtain by faith. The righteousness which results from justification through the merits of the Redeemer in Him alone. Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3 and 9 when he says that I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Hey, you see, our robe is provided by the groom. It's bought by the groom. It's provided by the groom. I want to say, friend, not only is this robe provided because it's bought by the groom, but it's provided because it's been blessed by God. You see, the Father's actively involved in what's going on in chapter number 19. Hey, listen now. Verse number 9, look what it says. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You know what the Father said about the people that came to the wedding? He said they are blessed. Amen. Hey, I'm saying the wedding between Christ and the church has the blessings of the Father on it. Hey, what a shame it is that a lot of folks are getting married, friend, and they have to be married against their parents' blessings. Sometimes the parents are right not to bless it, and sometimes they're not. But it always causes strife when people are married against the Father's blessings. Isn't that right? Anybody ever done that? You know what I'm talking about. It always causes strife when folks get married against the Father's blessings. But there's no worry of that for the church. The union between Christ and the church has the blessings of the Father on it. He's in approval of it this morning. He's pleased with it, thank God. Hey, it's not against the Father's wishes, but it's according to the Father's will, and we'll be made the bride of Christ. Ain't that a blessing, thank God. Amen. This is not a shotgun wedding. Amen. Bless His name. Hey, it's in the perfect will of God and it has the blessings of the Father. And so, friend, it's a provided robe bought by the groom, blessed by God. And not only is it a pure robe and a provided robe, but I want to say this morning, it's a precious robe. It is a precious robe. It's so precious today because of the source. You see, it came from our sweet Savior. And now, listen, it'll be a sweet robe. It'll be a matter for a friend. It'll be a perfect robe. It'll be just the right robe. But it really won't matter because the source of the robe is what'll make it precious to us. You see, when I gave an engagement ring to my wife, I was certainly not financially capable of giving her what I would like to have given her. I wasn't able to buy her maybe what I would want it to. But it didn't matter so much to her, at least then. It probably would now. But it didn't then. And hey, all that mattered then was that it came from me. And it was what it represented. It was the source. That mattered, friend. Because it came from my heart. And listen, our Lord's not constrained and restrained by financial limitations. But regardless of what my robe is like, I don't know everything about what it'll be. But I do know it'll be precious because of the source of that gift. It'll be precious because it is given from my Lord.
Amen.
Precious robe because of the source. It'll be a precious robe because of the symbol. You see, it was a symbol of some things. This robe symbolizes a lot. In this particular chapter of the Word of God, it symbolizes that we are righteous. It's the righteousness of the saints. I tell you, that makes it precious. You see, there's none righteous. No, not one. And yet on that day, He'll take people that are not righteous and put a robe on us and declare us righteous by virtue of His Son and not by virtue of what we've done. Amen. It's a symbol that we're righteous. I'll tell you what else it is. It's a symbol that we're His. Amen. I mean, when He puts a robe on us and makes us His bride, that is, He's marrying us and we belong to Him. Amen. And we're a bride that'll never be divorced. I tell you, it's a precious symbol because it reminds us that we belong to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's a precious robe because it symbolizes we're righteous. It's a symbol that we're His. It's a symbol that we're a bride. That is, we're getting married. And listen, hey, fellas, I don't know if you realize this or not. There ain't nothing that'll get a woman all cranked up like a wedding. It ain't even got to be her wedding. Somebody else can be getting married, and she'll get cranked up about it. I mean, hey, Hollywood's got it figured out. They know. I mean, if they really, really, really want to get a big ratings on Sweeps Week, whatever the big show is, somebody's going to be getting married on it. And all the women will be tuned in, just have to figure out what's going on. Hey, there's somebody that's getting married business. It gets brides excited. Hey, listen, friend, I never got to be a bride. And in this world, thank God, hey, man, I never will be. One of these days, hey, God, on the other side, I'll get to be a bride. Amen. Get excited about the wedding. And when that I'm his bride and he's my groom, that becomes mighty precious to me, because it symbolizes that our wedding's on the way. Amen. Oh, that's right. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that we're righteous. A symbol that we're His. A symbol that we're bride. I tell you, it's a symbol that we're pure. I realize just about everybody wears a white wedding gown now. But that's not what it's for. The white wedding gown is to represent purity and cleanliness. It's a shame and a disgrace to the church and God and everybody in it. Amen. For folks to come down the aisle of the church and get married and exchange vows in holy matrimony, expecting babies. Is wearing white, my friend, and claiming that getting married in the will of God and knowing it ain't so. I'm not saying folks made errors, mistakes, and committed sin that they can't be forgiven, but I'm saying we cannot put a stamp of approval on it from the church and from God's people, and it's been wrong. And hey, since the beginning of time, it always has been. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers shall be judged. I mean, it's still in the Bible, friend. And this church day's come to honor and to recognize that foolishness and to make a mockery of it. That a white robe should mean purity. And listen, friend, God's bride will not be a dirty bride. Hey, she won't be wearing an off-white robe. She won't be wearing a beige robe. Amen. Hey, she'll be a chaste virgin, espoused unto one husband, the bride of Christ, purified in the blood of Jesus. Amen. It represents that we're pure. It represents we're righteous. We're His. We're a bride. It's a symbol, friend, that we have an eternal commitment from the groom. Amen. Woo! Bless His name. Hey, there won't be one of God's sons that'll get to heaven. And Jesus said, well, I don't see how in the world this marriage is going to work out. I'm afraid you're going to have to leave. Oh, no. We have an eternal commitment from the groom. I bless His high and holy name. Hey, I love Him because He first loved me. And He's loved me with an everlasting love. Bless the Lord. It's a precious robe for the source, for the symbol. It's precious because of its similitude. You realize what this robe's made like, don't you? Oh, you see, this robe will be like the one Jesus wears. The reason it'll be so precious is because we'll be like unto Him. Isn't that right? How many when Jesus was transfigured into His heavenly robe while He was on earth? In Matthew 17:2, you know what it said about it? It said His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. You know what'll be so precious about this robe? It'll be just like the one Jesus wears. Amen. Oh, that's right. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, we can be called the sons of God. Hey, isn't that right? Hey, and the Bible said, whosoever this hope in himself purified himself, even as He is pure, beloved, we are now the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know when He shall appear, we shall be like unto Him. But we shall see Him as He is. I'm telling you, friend, thank God. Hey, it is a similitude. We shall be like unto Jesus. Our robe will be like unto Him. Our dress will be like unto Him. My friend, our likeness will be as unto Him. We'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. It's precious because of the source, the symbol, and the similitude. I want to say this robe of white, my robe of white, is a pure robe, a provided robe, a precious robe. I want to tell you this morning, my robe of white is a personal robe.
Amen.
That's why I'm not calling it the robe of white, but my robe of white. It's a personal robe, you see. Notice these verses in our text do not refer to the bride, the church, as they, but they refer to the bride as she and her.
Isn't that interesting? It does not refer to the bride as they, like it's a group, but as she and her as an individual. Let us be glad. Verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And so it tells us that this she, this individual bride, is a collection of the saints. But it doesn't call her they, it calls her she. Now this surely speaks of our unity when we get over there. That there'll be no divisions in the body. No Baptist bride. And no Methodist bride. By the way, they some foolish people. They call them Baptist briders. They believe that when they get to heaven, the Baptist will be the bride. And everybody else that happens to get there will just be visitors to the wedding. But there ain't nothing in the Bible about that kind of foolishness. Amen. Matter of fact, anybody that preaches that kind of business is a heretic and needs to find a place to get right with God. And it's so recording it. If I know who they are, I'll send them a copy. Amen. It is nowhere in the Bible. Hey, friend, by the way, they ain't a Baptist in the Bible either. Somebody said, what about John the Baptist? John the Baptist was a baptizer. He wasn't a Baptist by denomination. He was a Baptist by baptism. Amen. That's exactly right. There's not Baptist and Methodist brides. There's not a Pentecostal or Presbyterian bride. There's just the bride. Amen. You're either in or out, lost or saved. Hell bound or heaven bound. Forgiven or forever lost. I tell you, it's in or out, friend. There's not hay. There's no divisions in the bride. There's one bride, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Hey, there's one door to heaven, and everybody will go in through the same door. There's no divisions in the body. That's right, ain't it?
Amen.
Praise God for that kind of preaching. If it wasn't right, we'd all be in a mess, friend. Hey, because if denomination saved you, we'd have to find the perfect one to do it. Because imperfection cannot save imperfect people. And they ain't a perfect denomination or a perfect church. And if you happen to find a perfect church, don't you dare join it. You'll mess it up. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, friend. Hey, but when we get there, God will take imperfect people that's been saved by perfect grace and make us part of the same perfect bride. There'll be no divisions in that body. There'll be no divisions in that body. Not only does it tell us there'll be no divisions in the body and it speaks to our unity, but it also speaks to our individuality. Don't call her they. Don't call the bride they and them. It calls her she and her. Amen. Individuality. You see, though the bride is comprised of all the blood-washed church, our relationship with Christ is personal. Every individual has to make his own calling and election sure. You're not going to go to heaven because that's your part of True Baptist Church and we're part of the bride. Oh, no. You'll go to heaven because you have a one-on-one individual relationship with Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen. Hey, listen, Sonia couldn't have married me if I hadn't asked her. Or if she hadn't asked me and I said yes, however it went. I mean, hey, it wouldn't have happened. It was an individual thing. She made commitment to me. I made commitments to her. It ain't always been easy for her. It ain't always been easy for me. But we're still married. There's been some times that only my friend the threat of death has kept us married. Oh, you know what? I'm not mad if any of you married. I've been married more than a week or two. I mean, them days will come. But listen, friend, it was an individual matter. It was individual between me and her. Now listen, I went to her daddy and I asked her if I could have her hand in marriage and all that business. He put his blessings on it, but in reality, if he'd have said no, I'd just waited till the time come or what he said wouldn't have mattered. And I'd have married her anyway, because reality was it between me and her. If your family says, I just don't know how you can live and be a Christian. If your friends
say it's a waste of your time to live for Jesus? If the world says it's a bunch of hooey, and I don't believe a bit of it, if the devil says you're not really saved, and there ain't nothing to this thing of religion, you just remember it ain't got nothing to do with them. It's an individual matter. It's between you and God. You'll have to settle your case with God individually. Amen. It's a personal robe. Not a robe of white. Not the robe of white. My robe of white. It's a personal matter. And then I want to finish with this. Not only is it a pure robe and a provided robe, precious robe and a personal robe, but it's a promised robe. It's a promised robe. It's not a predicted robe. I almost used that word there. The Lord dealt my heart, you can't use that word. Predicted sounds like there's some risk involved. But it's not a predicted robe. It's a promised robe. You see, it's guaranteed. It's not just that the Lord said that this is what I believe we're going to do when we get there and we'll cross that bridge and we get to it. Oh no, there's a promise in the Word of God. And all of His promises in Him are yea and amen. That's exactly right. He keeps His promises, friend. That's promised us again and again in the Bible. Listen to what Revelation 4:4 said. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now these 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. That's the 24. And they are the representatives, the patriarchs of the Old and New Testament church. And like them, we all have the promise of a robe of white. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I'm telling you, we have a promise robe, the overcomers, they shall walk with me, for they are worthy. They will need no sun, no moon, for the Lamb of God is the light. Hey, thank God, they'll walk with me in white. He's given us that promise, friend. It's a promise robe. It's a promise robe. It's promise for all the children of God. And I'm finishing with this, becoming the song. The question is, are you prepared for the wedding? That's the question. You see, there was in Matthew 25 this 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish, 10 virgins. All virgins, by the way. All of them had lamps. 5 of them ran out of oil. 5 of them brought extra oil with them. And they said, the foolish ones said to the wise, to give us oil from your lamps so that we might burn our lamps. They said, no, lest we run out. And they're going by for yourselves. While they were gone searching for someone to buy from at midnight, the Bible said a cry came forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. 5 wise virgins were taken into the wedding. 5 foolish were left on the outside. The question is, are you prepared for the wedding? Are you prepared for the wedding? Matthew chapter 22, the king sent out his servants with invitations to come to his son's wedding. People came from everywhere. But one man, though he was the king's friend, the Bible said when he brought him unto the king said, friend, wherefore art thou come? He said, friend, wherefore art thou come unto the wedding without the wedding garment on? Though he was a friend, he attended the wedding unprepared. Though he was a friend and as such would have received an invitation, he attended without the wedding garment on. He was cast out and found unworthy for the wedding. Question is this morning, do you have a wedding garment? Do you have a robe of white? Or have you reserved by virtue of your faith in Christ a robe of white to wear on the day of the wedding? The question is, are you really ready to meet the Lord?
What you've got to live by may do just fine living by it, but it may not do at all when it comes time to die by it. Just about any old way will do to live by, but they won't but one way do to die by. Just about any old way will do to just get by with in life, but you won't get by with nothing in death. When you stand before the Lord in judgment, it'll not be based on what other people think you are, what everybody at the church thinks you are. It won't be based on what you say you are. It'll be based on what God knows you are. When you stand before the Lord in judgment, He'll judge you righteously and holy and on the merit of whether or not you received His Son. And if you didn't receive His Son, it won't matter what else you've done. Many will say unto Him that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out many devils in Your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in Your name? He said, I'll say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Be cast out into everlasting darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The question is, are you really ready to meet God? It'd be awful, listen, it'd be awful. It'd be awful this morning if we had to give an account to the church. Everybody in here had to give an account to the church of whether or not she's really right with God. It'd be awful. I respect this congregation enough. It'd be awful for me to have to stand up front of this congregation and say, listen, I've been living a lie. Now I'm not right with God, and I need to get right with God. That'd be embarrassing to me. I tell you, friend, embarrassing is the least of your worries when you get there. On that day, there'll be folks this day stand up and say, oh, I love Jesus, won't know it to be true. Serve the Lord with the lips, heart be far from Him. On that day, it won't matter what you say, God knows the truth. And you're not standing before Him and fool Him for 1 minute. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can never fool God.
Amen.
When you stand before the Lord and give an account for your life and your heart, the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready to meet God? You need to do business with the Lord. If you need to be saved this morning, if you need to get something right with God in your heart, now's the time to address and do business with the Lord. Stand to your feet, please. If you need to pray, I wish you'd come and do business with God. If you need to talk to the Lord, make your way to the altar this morning, find your place to do business with God. Oh, be found prepared. I want to be ready on that day, not have to be ashamed. I want to stand before the Lord. Let's sing. If you need to pray, I wish you'd come and come quickly. Find your place around this morning's bench and do business with God. Talk to the Lord about it this morning. Let's sing.